You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas to talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Good evening and welcome to the Fakeologist live chat audio stream on fakeologist.com. My name's Velocet and I'm here with Napoleon Wilson and Silverbeam from Australia, having a little chat in the green room in regards to that track. That was Lana Del Rey. The track was called Born to Die. And Napoleon Wilson has suggested that there's a different version by a band called Sid Arthur that he'd asked me to play. And I was looking through the lyrics and found the Lana Del Rey version and thought that would be quite interesting. So I will post the lyrics in the audio chat if you want to have a look.
Check you are out. Way too professional. Way too professional for 2 o'clock in the, 2 in the morning. It's the turn of the new year. That you should be drunk, or have you? Did you get drunk earlier? And now you're feeling guilty, so you thought you'd deliver some hard-hitting truth.
I'll take it as a compliment, Napoleon. I've got a background in broadcasting, so I'm pretty good at back announcing and going through things. At this point, I've only had one white wine, so not entirely drunk at this point. But I'm okay with back announcing and doing all the radio stuff. How are you doing?
Doing brilliant, mate. Happy New Year to you.
New Year to you. I was just out on the balcony. I was considering going out tonight and decided against it, but I just walked out on the balcony, and from where I am, you could see across the valley all different fireworks being let off in different locations, which was quite enjoyable to see it going on.
Yeah, I'm pretty much my days of going out and rubbing shoulders with the people out in the real world are over. Not because I can't do it, because I'd love mixing, but unfortunately, organised fun is never really is, you know. So there you go. And okay, we've also got Silverbeam in there, and he's experiencing 2018 before me as well. So happy New Year to you, Silverbeam.
Thank you. Happy New Year. Organised fun, a contradiction in terms.
Very much so. So you had a question for Hey Citizen to do with the Sydney Siege. And I'm unfamiliar with the Sydney Siege, but I think you're in agreement that it was a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the truth is about it. I was going to listen to, do I say it, Velocet?
Velocet's the correct pronunciation. It comes the movie Clockwork Orange. It's a a drink that's a drug that they use in the film.
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen it, mate.
No, I don't really.
That's where it's from.
I'm not really into that sort of movie.
Hello, Velocet. Hello, soundcheck. I'm going to mute in a second. Did you know it's also a bicycle?
Up a load of things for me there. So is that what you drink? Is that
you type I muted?
Yeah. Hi.
Introduce yourself. Where are you from?
My name's Typo Muted, and I'm from Birmingham. And all I was going to say, Velocet, is did you know it's also a bicycle, or a kind of bike, a Velocet?
I'm aware of that. I took the name purely from the movie and left it at that.
Ah, okay then. Right, I'm going to mute. All right.
That's over very quickly.
Okay, so you have evidence that the Sydney Siege was real, correct?
I was kind of baiting you there, unfortunately.
Oh.
Police officer, I live in Sydney, New South Wales, right, which is where the Lint Cafe is?
Yeah.
In Sydney. There's a police officer in Sydney. And what I wanted to point out was that he swore real because he guarded the perimeter from two blocks away. So it must be real because he guarded the perimeter.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out that this is all the kind of stuff that goes into my understanding of the world.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm glad I got you along for that piece of evidence, because not many people can take an appreciation of me speaking out. Like, it's a, you can understand there's a lot to speak out on the internet these days. And
no, well, it's really good that you know a policeman who can give you some information.
Most people don't have that in their lives, that's but right. I'm willing to take it on the chin and go, look, what does it really matter if I talk about this stuff? Who really knows who I am? What does it matter? So I'm prepared to put it out there. Look, a member of my family swore up and down it was real because they stood two blocks away from it and guarded a perimeter, which to me means, well, how much do you really know about what was going on? And were you just another, you know, victim of a scam that was being portrayed? And I think this conversation came about because I posted on the forum about an hour ago the pictures of turned off by police buses and city transit buses and semi-trailers of the like as we went through Boxing Day sales here in Sydney. Because of the recent Melbourne attacks, it was necessary to cordon off the city to prevent any future attacks here in Sydney, which, of course, I believe are probably unlikely to occur.
Yeah, I don't know how real these car attacks are. You know, it's natural to assume that they're fake since so much is fake. But the reason
Twitter
I believe this...
And essentially, at this most recent one, I wasn't completely sure it's fake. Don't get me wrong. But I've seen enough from the previous ones to make an assumption about what I think the media does in this world to go, okay, well, it probably is fake. And on the evening of that particular issue, the most recent one in Melbourne, at a friend's place, I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago or something? I was at a friend's place. They had Foxtel, which is the Australian cable provider for those of you outside Australia. But they were glued to the television watching all this Foxtel coverage of this horrible thing that had happened in Melbourne. Yeah. And me coming from that skeptical background, look, I don't know whether it's fake or real. And a lot more people cameras than they usually do. So it was interesting to me that there were a lot more people seem to be involved in this one. If it was fake, it's like, well, how many people are getting in on it? Regardless of that, it was interesting to sit with them in the room as they absorbed the news and watch the emotional roller coaster they went on, going, oh dear, you know, this horrible terrorist event has happened, and you know, look at all the people injured. And you sit there, and it's like watching a reality TV show. You're watching your friends go on this emotional roller coaster, and you're not quite buying it anymore. And you can, whether it's real or fake, it doesn't matter. The fact is, you can sit there and be skeptical about it, but for them, it's happened, and they're going on the emotional roller coaster, busy looking up on Facebook what groups they should get involved with to criticize Muslims or whatever else it is that they think is going on in the world. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's possible that there are some psycho people out there who see these car attacks in the news and think, I'll do that too. And, you know, I did notice that in some of the photos, I didn't look into it a lot, but in some of the photos, some of the emergency first aid looked a lot more real than I've seen in other events. You know, it actually looked like they'd set up and were trying to help people properly.
I'm coming from. I'm looking at a lot of the news pictures myself going, this looks a lot more real than the fake stuff I've come to know. However, it doesn't mean that it is real. I can still appreciate the fact that the people I'm with are going on an emotional roller coaster here to buy into the story, much like the Dreamer World disaster or any of those things where you go, well, what's the chances of a water ride failing after, you know, 20 years of good service? Suddenly it goes and causes a problem right when all these developers in Brisbane are trying to get in on the action and develop that, you know, oceanfront property. There's so many other factors that play into it. And I think, on the world stage, it's not so apparent to people overseas. They might be buying into the fact that, it's a fake event. Australia sheds light on the fact that there's an agenda behind it. You know, like with Dreamer World, for example, Australians are much more likely to be aware of the fact that development is trying to roll out apartments in that area, and there seems to be a financial benefit to Dreamer World property, as it were.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle. I haven't heard that one.
What do you think it's all for? Why get rid of these properties and find reasons to crash a business? Like places like Dreamworld, they're looking for an out to actually find a reason to go, you know, negative in their finances. It's to be able to sell off the property to developers. That's what Australia is all about these days. Where are you at?
I'm in Victoria, down near Melbourne.
You're probably
familiar with the amount of development that's gone on in the Melbourne CBD in the last 4 years or so, right? Now, I visited Melbourne about three times in the last 4 years, and I can see the amount of development that's taken place in the big city. You've got places like Meriden building those huge apartments. Are we supposed to believe that there's that amount of people really looking for apartments, or is it maybe just taking advantage, builders taking advantage of the boom in property?
Yeah, a lot of Chinese people buy them but don't live in them.
We have the exact same problem here in Sydney.
I think like 80,000 or something in Melbourne, apartments like that.
No, no doubt. We have the same problem here in Sydney. We have huge amounts of apartments here in Zetland, which is a suburb very close to Sydney CBD. It's where the most of the people that work in Sydney CBD live, is in Zetland. Boom period, massive amounts of Meriden apartments gone up. But the reality is, if you look out over the courtyard on a quiet night, no lights are on. It's all Chinese investment that keeps these places on.
Opportunity in Brisbane
for them to knock down the Dreamworld property and develop it into something else. Are they not going to take that? Are they not going to create an excuse to write it off and claim they've got no profits as a business, as in Dreamworld? They've got no profits. We can't afford to keep the business running, so we're going to sell it off to developers.
Well, where does Dreamworld...
Do you know who owns Dream? This company that you're saying is probably going to go under? Is it owned by a big corporation?
Of course it is. And what's interesting, what's even more interesting...
Moving furniture on the Titanic then, aren't it?
The CEO of the company that's right. Okay, we had the on the Gold Coast here in Australia, which is in Queensland, front property owned by Dreamworld, which is a amusement park, right? Now they had the Dreamworld disaster, which is where one of their tire rides, like a water rapids ride, killed I think three or four people, used for them to start losing money and claiming that they're going out of business in order to sell the whole property to developers on the coast. But what's even more interesting is the CEO of Ardent Leisure, who runs this park, was also involved in the Lindt Cafe siege in Sydney. People in Sydney. So we've got the same personalities cropping up, much like the Boston bombings and the other thing you're looking at. We've got the same people cropping up here in Australia that are involved with multiple of these scams.
Mm. Simon Kelly.
What's the name?
Simon Kelly, the owner of Ardent Leisure. Oh, not the owner, sorry, the CEO of Ardent Leisure.
Might be the new one. Dream. It's a woman that's the previous CEO. Oh, okay. I have to look her up. No, I forget her name. She's blonde and she's got kind of a man face.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting.
Stuff I got from, I can't remember where I saw it, but this is like YouTube stuff several years ago now that I was paying attention to. I can quote the names for you right now, but I'm sure if you look it up, it'll be there.
Yeah, I'm just checking it out.
Someone.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I think the Sydney siege was fake was because there was a recording device supposedly planted the night before in the cafe. So I can't think of any explanation for that if it was a real event.
No, the fact that there's things like that in place imply to someone like yourself or I who are aware of this kind of agenda, maybe warning of this and you to plant things. The person is Deborah Thomas. Ardent Leisure CEO. The CEO at the time that the Dreamworld disaster or Dreamer World disaster happened, but she was also involved with the Sydney siege. If you go back to the Sydney siege newspaper articles, you'll see that Deborah Thomas was also involved with that. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, sorry, I'm just reading.
Napoleon, sorry.
Oh, Napoleon. I think he's there.
I am here, mate, but remember, there's no dead air on Fakeologist Radio.
No, it's very clever that. Cut out all the silence, and it seems like there's no dead air. Sorry, I didn't want to take that all too seriously by going into Ardent Leisure and all the Dreamer World stuff. I just was hooking Silverbeam into my own little world of interest and asked how I knew the Sydney siege was real. And the only evidence I had was that I had someone who was a police officer who could claim that they knew it was real because they stood two blocks away. And the point of that was to point out that people can be compartmentalised and assume they were part of something that may not quite be real. And I think that's the way so many things run these days, without question.
Yeah, that is how it works. A lot of people involved wouldn't realise they were involved in something fake. It's interesting. I wonder where the line is. You know, there must be an inner circle who know those on the outside.
And that's what's so fascinating. where does the line get drawn? Like, I mean, do we have to assume that at some stage someone knows it's an agenda? Many people involved that are just apparently so ignorant to the fact that it's an agenda or buy into the narrative they're being told, we, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, you know? And I'm not entirely convinced that it's a bad thing. I mean, maybe at some level, made on purpose to, you know, figure out that maybe all of humanity is being somewhat misled and we're supposed to figure it out from ourselves.
Yeah, the eternal question that we all ask ourselves, you know, why was we born into where we are? Why are we not one of the elite? Why are we were born this part of particular time and not 300 years prior when there was wars going on and loads of famine and things like that? There's a million and one questions. But you were just talking about money there.
Time? How do you know that...
Hang on, just let me ask you this question.
Was there a famine to begin with?
Yes.
You just told that. How do you know?
No, but there's always natural disasters which kill thousands of people. There always is and there always will be. We're living in modern day, so it's very rare that we're going to get natural disasters. You know. No, but just let me, quick question there about money. Is obviously, money is a different tool at lots of different levels, but at the top level, it's not used. So we can see how these companies that are developed and things like that, when you say, well, why was it allowed to go under and lose money? Well, obviously, because the people who own it don't care about it, and it's more valuable doing what it's doing. It's just a tool. Money's just a tool. So, you know, but we look at it like money's the be-all and end-all, and it's not actually important at all.
No, I would agree. I mean, how many people in this, you know, sort of conspiracy circles would complain about taking out tax money? Now, the money up to begin with, is it really that bad that they're taking it back? I mean, can we really account for how much is spent on seas or how much is spent on, you know, our roads and other infrastructure that's used in our own country?
People accumulate.
It's a lot to account for.
So you need to systematically drain it from the system. It's been proven. Everybody's known that for 200 years minimum. You have to do that. Same with all these hyper-realistic drills, portrayed as real. They're just events to keep us moving in this same direction, same as the money system. If all of a sudden there was no turmoil in the, you know, in your finances or what you're seeing on telly, you might start opening your eyes like what you're saying, Velocet. I mean, you woke up literally overnight, nearly.
If you just want to go into that, I'm happy to rehash it for the purpose of the content derived here in the live stream. Originally, I spoke to Ab for a two-hour chat when I first joined Fakeologist. I explained that I like most people on this Fakeologist channel, for the space of a year or 6 months or 3 months or whatever, I woke up pretty much overnight by taking acid. Proud of, but it's also something, you know, that I'm not particularly, you know, in denial of. Like, for me, it was like, okay, I took acid, which is a drug, and then overnight I started seeing through the news. Like, I would look at it and go, this is almost like reality TV. It seems bizarre to me. So, like, just to get your opinions, what are your thoughts on it, Napoleon?
On waking up overnight or the actual, literally, the they live part of putting on the glasses and seeing through reality.
Because are they mutually exclusive? Because I've only heard, all the time I've been in this truth of scene, I've heard from people who have never acknowledged the use of drugs. Maybe weed they acknowledge. People have not acknowledged drugs as being a source of why they've become aware of something. People always claim they were aware of 9/11 because it seems stupid, which I don't believe.
Well, I thought 9/11 seemed stupid. I thought it was a conspiracy from the beginning when I watched it.
Me too. Within 10 seconds, I said it was an insurance job. So, you know, there is a level of being a... Sorry, one sec. That, see, 911 is not... 911 shows you media fakery. It's perfect for that. Once you've seen September 11th and September Clues, and you understand media fakery, that's when the wake-up process comes in. But if anybody really thinks that what happened on September 11th is what was advertised live on the day, and you didn't have any questions of what was going on the day, you know, the live news footage, you know what was this and the other. If you actually watched that and thought it was exactly like it was said on the tin, and you've never addressed it since, then address it and see if there is something that's awakening in you. But I think that it was a culmination of everything going on at the time. I'm not going to say just that point in time. You know, we had films before it, events after it. We had all the UFO stuff, the sceptical, the government's lying to you. You know, so there was a wake-up point anyway, and that was planned for the turn of the millennium.
Oh, and I agree now, understanding what I do. What I'm saying is, I was in year 11 at school, so I would have been 7 years old when 9/11 happened, right? Anything from the moon landings was way before my birth. So I'm just taking what the common consensus has as to what that was about.
Well, Silver Beam, Silver Beam, when you first saw the image of the hole in the building on September the 11th, you've probably seen it around about 7 o'clock at night or something. What did you think? First thing into your head?
Well, I didn't think it was terrorists.
Perfect. Me neither. I said, that's an insurance job. What about you, Velocet?
Would have been 11. I didn't understand the wider ramifications of that kind of issue. That's what I'm trying to get at here.
No, that's fine. I forgot you were younger than me.
If you'll let me explain, I'm trying to leave this conversation. It didn't seem apparent at the time. The same as the moon landings at the time wouldn't seem apparent. Now, when I was 14 years old, these moon landing conspiracy documentaries, and I'd look them up on YouTube. And now, when I'm 14, YouTube is very young at that point. But for me, I looked at them and went, wow, that's interesting. There could be some truth to that. But the wider ramifications didn't seem apparent at the time. It's like, yeah, maybe they did lie about the moon. But it didn't become apparent to me that lying about the moon could lead to the fact that space is completely fake, and the fact that they're not flying around in the ISS, and the fact that satellites aren't used to stream pay TV over, you know, a microwave. All that stuff didn't seem apparent at the time. So I've got to say, it's not until I'm 25, and I'm 27 now, but it wasn't until I was 25 and took acid and overnight, and this is what I'm saying that people don't seem to acknowledge anywhere, that maybe drugs overnight woke them up to the fact that it's all fake. Because overnight, I started looking at reality TV, and I started looking at the news, and realizing, holy shit, this is exactly the same thing. Reality TV is no different to the news.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Of hearing that piece, I made that, if you're not aware of that.
That's cool.
From September Clues.
I'm not struck.
Scream. It becomes more and more obvious.
I don't mind the scream. I'm not a dance music head now. I've gone off it. Put a nice slow beat in there. I'll get John Adams to play some, or even Mahatma Coke, a little bit of a smooth guitar. We could work something out, I reckon.
It wasn't about the dance music. It was the fact that the more and more you listen to that scream, as an audio engineer, the more and more it starts to become obvious to you that it's in a small room and it's in an echo chamber, that it's not really happening on the scene, you know?
The entire day was scripted. What you see on TV was scripted. You know, I don't think we need to analyse it anymore.
I just wanted to get your comments going over that. That to me, the more and more I hear that grab, the more I feel it was just ridiculous that anyone could buy into that. Because when you hear it completely isolated, you realize it's just a ridiculous sound effect used in any movie that might be made. Mm-hmm. With the fact that for me, I forget exactly where I was, for me it was literally an overnight thing that I started to realize all this stuff. So it's hard for me to relate to people that might claim that it took watching videos and that to figure this stuff out, because it was literally overnight for me that I thought, holy shit, this is just all fake. You know, we're just being presented with all this nonsense that doesn't really make sense.
Well, that's why it's all made to look stupid anyway. Nothing is meant to be real, because it's not a case of convincing yourself. It's a case of convincing 51% of the public, and you're never going to do that.
Yeah, 51% is the number.
wasn't it in that?
But if we were to review John Le Bon's idea of up till now, what would you say to the fact that, and if I can go back to a personal story here, when I first looked at the moon landings, I looked at that when I was 14, right? That would have been at the very birth of YouTube. And I looked at that stuff and thought, wow, you know, that's interesting. Maybe they didn't land on the moon. But as I said, I couldn't realize the wider ramifications of why they might lie about something like that. The fact that the Earth might be flat, the fact that we're being lied to about heliocentrism. The wider aspects aren't obvious to you when you're at that age because you can't figure it out. Started to review those things at this age, it's becoming more obvious why those things will be lied about. I'm interested to see what you might think about the fact that maybe all this stuff is a little bit of truth in plain sight. Maybe this stuff isn't a big laugh in your face because you don't realize it, but maybe just kind of stuff are actually giving you a little clue that you haven't yet figured it all out yet, but you're on the right track, you know. You're starting to see that things aren't all they appear. What do you think about that?
In all of their hustles, you're expected to assume something, and the same with the space one. So, you know, it started off 110 years, 115 years ago, and the culmination was the shoddiest landing. The culmination was an 11-year period where they talked about going to the moon. They landed on the moon in, I think, 11
115 years ago. What are you saying? Copernicus's model started off 115 years ago?
No. They said they were going to land on the moon 100 years ago. You've got La Danse la Luna, haven't you? For the fellows. You know the French film where the rocket hits the moon in the eye.
I must admit, I'm not familiar with it. I don't claim to be an expert on everything, but I must admit I'm one of those people that's kind of, you know, intermediary with a lot of things rather than expert on a few amount of things.
But once again, we'll leave it to the French to tell us what is true, because the English convolute things and the Americans basically lie about things, but the French seem to speak the truth in a lot of the departments. There's a film. And it's called, Danse la Luna. It's Voyage to the Moon or something similar, anyway. And it's a 13-minute short clip which shows a number of magicians gathering in a big hall with the moon in the background and a telescope pointing towards the moon. And on the blackboard on the left-hand side, there's a basic trajectory pointed from the Earth to the moon. There's lots of tunes going on and there's some subtitles. Like I say, it's from 1902, so it's a bit old. Then what they do is they decide they're going to go to the moon, but in order to go to the moon, they have to convince people. So they get changed out of the wizard's clothes and put on scientific clothes, and then they go to the moon, basically. But in that version, they actually make it to the moon. You know, but that was just basically explaining that you do need to believe in magic if you want to land on something which, you know, is probably not solid.
But that was somewhat of a miracle, metaphysical explanation of how things were happening, correct?
Well, yeah, that was just how we basically, that was just saying what the film industry is going to be used for, and how it's going to be used, and it was just showing. We'll put it one way: the 20th century, and you're making a film about going to the moon, and then obviously all the other scientific stories actually mimic it exactly the way that Apollo supposedly did it. So once you know all that, what I'm saying there is the culmination of events. There wasn't a shoddy moon lander landing on the moon. The belief would, you already wanted a man to land on the moon belief. They could have shown you a can of beans on the moon and said we landed in that. And some people would have believed it. You know, you do have to take a step.
I would agree, but what I'd say is it's still quite a distance before they actually portrayed people landing on the moon from the start of the century. Quite a gap there.
Well, it wasn't possible anyway, so they had to do it in intrinsic stages, you know, like the narrative, like you introduce this to explain that, you introduce that to explain this, and you already know what you're getting to. You've got the totalitarian tiptoe. People actually think that going to the moon was a freedom thing, but it wasn't. It was actually tightening the shackles tight around you by saying, look, this is not something that anybody can do. We have to do it. If NASA has to do it, you know, if you know a and skin's not stupid. If you know that media fake rate is prominent, then you pretty much, how far back are we going? Because we know a lot of history is bunk. So, you know, I'm up to, you know, I'm just questioning things as they fall into my lap. I'm not far off believing that
modern history is pretty much a crock of shit. Like, I mean, how much can we believe about what we've been told?
You have to test it, don't you? Or at least run it through a little bit of a probability matrix in your head.
That's the thing. There's so much we can't really test for ourselves. I mean, like you, I only have, within my own family, I can go off, you know, my parents' parents' parents, and that's about it. That's as far back as it goes. And I've been to family reunions where it goes back as far as the parents' parents' parents. Who knows any more than that? So what should I be expected to believe beyond first-hand experience of relatives that can actually explain that they knew these people?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, you're always I'm sure, like, just reverting back to NASA again, they employed that many people. So, you know, they give people lots of livelihoods. So people were invested in believing in it and the success of it as well. So, going back two generations there to say the, you know, the late 40s, early 50s. So the people nowadays that are involved in it, they really believe it even more so because they're the third generation of believing in space travel, you know, and stuff like that. But
I've already let on this evening that I have a relative that was involved in the police force on the Sydney siege. And he let on that was completely real because he guarded the perimeter from, you know, several blocks away, which to me says that he, you know, may have been complicit in a complete dupe of the public. To say that I also have an overseas relative who is involved in NASA and JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratories. This is someone who will insist that we went to the moon and things like that because they were involved in the making of washers to go on the space shuttle. Yeah, how much more ignorant of your job do you need to be to realize that maybe, you know, you could have been deceived in what you're doing? I come from a very unique position because there's many people like myself that might have people involved, you know, around the world in things like NASA in the United States and Link Cafe in Australia, be able to speak about it so predominantly. And from a personal experience here that, you know, all the things I hear from people I know doesn't seem to add up. The, you know, covering, you know, falsified according to the mainstream narrative.
Well, what do you think the increase in these hoaxes is for?
No idea. I mean, I can observe that being awake to this fakery, it seems to have ramped up. I mean, that's a subjective reality. It certainly seems to be ramping up since I've been aware to it. Is that because I've been aware of it, or is it because global ramping up of the fact that people are awake to this stuff? And that's what I'm interested in finding out, is to actually deceive people and make them wake up to the fact that they can be deceived. Who knows?
Could be. But I think it's probably a controlled burn. I know some people are, you know, questioning things. So instead of that, we'll disseminate a lot of this stuff on the internet. And
it may well could be. I just like to find the most positive viewpoint. And for me, I've believed the negative stuff for long enough that I start to see that maybe there is a positive to this, you know?
Ooh, do tell.
Completely subjective. But after you've seen this negative stuff for so long, you start to wonder, is it possible that maybe putting people through all this negative stuff actually starts to make them self-aware, ranting to people you know about the fact that 9/11 was utter bullshit, or maybe, you know, humans didn't land on the moon. But what does that really do? It just brings their defenses up. Maybe, just maybe, to ask the question for themselves, and maybe if you can be there to provide the answers, it actually helps humanity a little more than just ranting about the fakeology does.
It depends. Two points there. If something's being blamed on a minority, and that minority is a good percentage of the population of a country where something's being blamed on him, then no, that's not fair. That's not for benevolent reasons. Because there will be some poor, there's probably some poor bastard Muslim who got fucking caned after September 11th. Fucking beaten up, and yeah, body missing. No one's fucking seen him. So there you go, there's someone who died from that. So no, I don't agree with that at all.
It's interesting you would come up with that point, because one of the links I post recently to the live stream chat was a Howard Stern replay interview. Are you familiar with Howard Stern?
Yeah, how it's done.
Okay. It's aware to me that most people outside the United States are not familiar with Howard Stern, but he's one of the largest paid DJs in American history. Largest paid DJ in American history. And he made a move from FM radio into satellite radio in 2006. And I've been listening to his show since 2006 because since he moved to satellite, he's able to be completely uncensored, which was quite an issue when he was on FM radio. He's completely censored, and then he's made the move to satellite, also which I don't entirely believe satellites are real. But the fact is, he moved to a technology which allows satellite to exist, started doing uncensored broadcasting, and replays of 2006 onwards satellite. And it was only recently I came across the first episode of September 11, 2006, which they were doing a replay of 9/11 on the Fakeologist Discord, where he went into how mocking conspiracy theorists that, of course, you know, you would be insane to think that it didn't happen, which, of course, I personally take offense to. It just goes to show the divide that can happen. Even someone who's out there supposedly speaking, you know, free thought.
Well, first of all, a lot of these DJs, even Abs encountered it when he went on the Humble and Fred show. They're not legitimate. They know all the points, and when they're losing a battle, they come in with, so what does it matter? Anybody who's, this can sound daft because you are quite professional, anyone who's banging on tunes and having guests come in the show and doing all this and doing all that and asking all these questions, but who will not address something which is, you know, obvious, then why waste your time listening to them? I understand the fun side of things, if you're listening to him, like if you want to hear Joe Rogan go on a rant with Duncan Trussell about LSD, I couldn't understand listening to that. Or if you wanted to hear the artful side of, let's just say, Clive Lewis going on one of his soliloquies and talking about truth and the conspiracy world is just almost romantic. But to take that and bring it to the table on Fakeologist, nah. None of these people have got any credibility with me. None of them.
I would agree. Know,
so when they mock Taylor someone,
brought it up the other day.
But that's what I mean. So when they mock someone, that's done. That's the bully in the schoolyard. You know, we're going
to
laugh.
I agree. And that's what it was hard for me to accept. The fact that I've listened to Howard Stern for years, and this comes from a background of broadcasting and appreciation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I've always listened to his show because I admired him as a DJ and how he presented his content. So to get, you know, 2 years into it and he's busy denying 9/11, I can only assume he's somewhat aware of what's going on. He's not enough of a fool that he would believe that some idiots from, you know, Iraq with box cutters flew planes into the Twin Towers. That's absurd. And to me, it seems absurd. So if I know it's absurd, I can only assume he believes the same.
But he has to keep up that facade.
Someone who I looked up to, you know, was busy pushing this agenda, faith in, and listened to day in, day out. Even though it's years later from his broadcasts, I'm busy, you know, recapping all the stuff he's done. I mean, he does a four-hour show every day, so I'm not able to listen to it in real time. I've got to go back to 2006 and slowly listen to episode by episode to catch up, to learn the ins and outs of how good radio is done. And 9/11 special and hear all this shit he's injecting into the community, winning, you know, because I'm also part of this community and hear it all. And the
English majors are just talking to audio. But
I don't blame you. The English
I can understand the draw.
American humor.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. But with September the 11th, it was very, very significant to me. Like I said, because I could see what came after it. Without looking into it. Remember, I told you I thought it was an insurance job. I'll be dead honest with you. That's what I said. I thought it was an insurance job for probably 8-10 years. But seeing what happened over the next 5 years in Britain, the terrorism line and the Muslim line, and seeing, you know, where we went then and how people were, basically people were pinpointed as being terrorists because they were, there wasn't any terrorists in the paper anywhere that were white, you know, so to speak. They were all Muslims and a lot of them were all North Africa as well. So, you know, there's the way that was done and immigration was put in as well. You could see that it was nothing to do with terrorism. But then by 2005, we had the 7/7 bombings. And once that was my first one that I looked into, and I was like, oh my God, I don't believe this. There was no way on earth these lads were ever in on it. After that, I stepped back. I'd had enough. And it was only addressing JFK that I realised, right, that it went back that far, the fakery. So, you know, this new influx of all these new hoaxes or terrorist attacks, they just call them fucking hyper-realistic drill traders real, because that's what they are. People treat them as real. You're saying there might be a benevolent side. I can understand why he's saying that, but we've not got proof of that. Just like John says, we've not got proof of paid shills, even though we know they exist. So, you know, there's this going out on a limb again, believing in things, atoms and gravity, and we're all expected to believe something when we know for a fact that there is people running the place.
Mm.
You know, good or bad, there are people running the place, which is not you know, benevolent. It can't be.
How about we coming back in about 10 minutes and we catch up on that issue specifically? How's that sound?
All right, now the weather.
You know me too well. Sydney, Australia, it's currently 21 degrees. Coming at you live. It's an international station. If you want to catch up in the lobby, come back in 10 minutes. How's that sound?
What's up? And Happy New Year, almost.
And Happy New Year. New Year to you as well, Soundwave, you mad bastard.
But that's not very nice in a boardroom. Watch your mouth.
Sorry, sir, but you are crazy.
You are the crazy guy on this channel.
I try. So, you've got a few hours left. Are you going to hit the clubs before you... For the New Year's out?
Oh, I'm not going out for New Year.
Too cold, no money, no girl.
Yep, all of them.
Join the club. Right, see you in a minute, mate.
All right, mate. Mate. Take a look around at what you did. Ain't suffering.
Good morning and welcome. It's currently 3:32 here in Australia, Sydney time that is. You're listening to Black Sabbath, Killing Yourself to Live.
Hello, chats. This audio chat is getting recorded, and I don't think it would be a good idea to play copyrighted music, because then maybe the recording will get a copyright strike.
Well, in that case, I welcome the copyright strike. I would like to see if they want to go ahead with that.
Copyright is also a conspiracy, then, I guess. No, just kidding. Just a joke.
I would agree it's a joke. Killing Yourself to Live, a Black Sabbath. I'm not entirely threatened by the copyright idea. It's going out completely live. There's much threat from sources that are completely live. Joining us in the live stream tonight, Napoleon Wilson, Not So Freemason, Overly Salted, Silverbeam, Soundwave 40, the Streamerbot, of course, Typo Muted, and myself, Velocet. It's currently 3:34 Australian time, AM. So there's a slight sort of in reference on the lyrics. I'm looking at Napoleon Wilson. He's pretty up on the music.
Yeah, no, was that Black Sabbath, did you say? Yeah, we're seeing a pattern there. Seeing a pattern. So, yeah.
Pink Floyd all this week. I'm also a big fan of Black Sabbath. You know, they were taken down in the past. Like, everyone in USA especially, the parents and, you know, citizens council or whatever it is, accuse them of being, you know, satanic. And it's like, if you actually listen to their lyrics, it's almost Christian, the kind of lyrics they have. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I probably agree on that. I have read the back of a few of the albums, gone for a few of the songs, and they're never as chilling as they actually sound once he's got hold of the lyrics. But yeah, I agree with that.
Over the years, though, how many people have said that they're, you know, if you play their records backwards, you hear messages from the devil and all this kind of shit? If you actually listen to their lyrics, it's Christian.
I like Pink Floyd. They're pretty good.
I would postulate that their lyrics are actually Christian lyrics, and anyone in the fact that their lyrics are somewhat against the regime of what Black Sabbath are for. Most rock bands of the same age, be it Alice Cooper, Led Zeppelin, bands like that, seem to be on the cutting edge of lyrics that, you know, purport something somewhat Christian, and that in there is a larger agenda taking place, the idea that they're this satanic band that shouldn't be listened to.
I think it's a preconception by many people that Black Sabbath and Metallica and those kind of bands are all satanic. I think that's just a preconception by many people. You know, heavy metal and stuff.
I would agree. Where are you from, Soundwave 40?
I'm from the Netherlands.
Netherlands.
Affirmative.
Very attractive women in the Netherlands, correct?
Correct.
I've had the opportunity to meet several women from the Netherlands here in Sydney, Australia. So, exception, I can assume that most women from the Netherlands are quite attractive and blonde, correct?
Correct. Once again.
Not the case. Yeah, excellent. Set me up with someone, if that's the case.
We're getting closer to 2018. What will everybody be doing at the New Year, of New Year's Eve?
You're getting closer to 2018. I'm already in 2018.
Really?
It's currently 3:39 a.m. here in Australia. So in Sydney, Australia, we've already gone past the midnight mark. I was just explaining to Napoleon Wilson that I went out on the balcony to look at the fireworks in the distance. Most people in Australia are busy going out to the city and the like. Yeah.
Okay.
Just in going out to enjoy. So I just stood out on my balcony and could see, from where I live, heaps of fireworks. The one thing I'm dying for at the moment is a cigarette. I haven't got, and so it's really annoying me, to be honest.
Are you trying to stop, or don't you have access to one at the moment?
I have none in supply, and had I have known I would run out so early, I would have gone out earlier and bought some, but I was foolish and thought I do not need cigarettes to go through the new year, and that's my own fault for believing that. If I can relate to you for a second, I was down on the south coast of Sydney a few years ago and met a Dutch girl, and she was gorgeous. And that gave me the impression that all Dutch women were quite beautiful. Assumption to make?
That would be correct.
What I could gather from my opinion, but it seemed to be pretty flat chat that all Dutch women seem to be quite attractive.
Yep, it's great. There are many clouds in the sky right now, so I hope they dissipate before the fireworks start, because you can't see many fireworks if there are many clouds. Very low-hanging clouds, so I hope they dissipate.
It's natural or chemtrails?
Oh, chemtrails, obviously.
We have that quite a bit here where I'm from. We see like people that buy into the chemtrail theory, it's not 100%. Here, I have seen literally chemtrails that planes and last all of the afternoon. Last, you know, like maybe 20 minutes after the plane passes by, they disappear. So that would indicate, you know, a quick dissipation, which are a longer dissipation. So I've got to say, I've seen both of the kinds. So it's hard to say what exactly is going on, but I've certainly witnessed both, and that's the point.
I don't know if cloud dissipation speed depends on the atmospheric properties like heat and the wind and moisture and other properties. So I don't know.
I'd like to invite, at the moment we've got Napoleon Wilson, Not So Freemason. And now Not So Freemason I haven't met as of yet. Overly Salted, I think I have met. Silverbeam, I've met already. Soundwave 40, I've had a chat to. Dreamerbot, of course, is a bot. Tiber Muted, I've had a chat to, and myself, I haven't chatted to.
Please.
For those who aren't familiar, I've worked in the broadcast industry for several years. Now, for those who aren't familiar, I've worked for Foxtel, the major broadcasters in Australia of pay television, broadcast about 100 plus channels of pay TV, who are aware from Flat Earth and other theories, perhaps satellites don't exist. Now, from my time in the broadcast industry, working with satellites and the like, to talk to people who have worked with Sky Sports Radio and, you know, Foxtel Sports, etc., who have worked with these digital distribution systems for radio methods. And what I've come to learn in the time, that most people who work with these technologies don't actually know where it comes from. In transmitting racing, like horse racing broadcasts or greyhound racing broadcasts, who will insist that it's real because they saw the signal go live. But come to ask them where the satellite signal actually comes from, and they will tell you that, oh, it comes from that satellite in the sky, and they don't really know much actually came from. And what I'm starting to suspect is that maybe, just maybe, they're buying into a false system of belief that could be simulated on the ground just as easily without actually doing the real-life satellite broadcast. Any thoughts on that, everyone?
Yes, I would like to give my input on that, if I may.
To hear it.
Well, amateur radio, I mean, have you ever heard about ham radio?
Ham radio is like long wave radio, correct?
No, ham radio stands for amateur radio. So, you know, amateur radio, people will communicate with long wave, or it could be any kind of wave. It could
What I'm trying to point out here is, if I can speak as a broadcast expert for a second, amateur radio is still given a certain allocation of frequency.
Really? I did not know that. Well,
you need to understand is that all bands of radio have certain frequency. Anything that exists in the broadcast spectrum on a certain frequency, right? So the police officers who communicate on their radio frequencies have encrypted radio frequencies. Those who communicate on FM broadcast frequencies have certain frequencies. So no matter where you are in the broadcast spectrum, you have an allocated frequency. So believe me, I myself, even though I live in Sydney, New South Wales, I've travelled to Nowra, which is south of New South Wales in Australia, into a friend's house who does ham radio. And he's able to use an antenna of his property to communicate to people in Russia, believe it or not. A very long antenna around the perimeter of his house in Russia. So what I'm trying to point out is that your antenna and your frequency can dictate how far you can communicate.
Okay, thank you for your information. Let's talk about
I'm just trying to point out the facts that I know from broadcast media, because I've worked in mainstream media for several years now.
Yes, thank you.
And that's what's become apparent to me.
So let's get back on satellites. Ham radio amateurs can receive satellites with their own equipment. For example, if you there are websites where you can see when which satellite will be above your horizon. So let's say you want to receive a weather satellite. You just have to go to a website. You input your location, and then it says which satellite will be above your horizon at which time. And if you then point your antenna, well, it depends on the kind of antenna. I think dish antennas are directional, and they need to be pointed at the location of the location of the source. I'm not sure there are, of course, different kinds of dish antennas, but let's for a moment assume that an antenna needs to be pointed at the source to receive it. But then you can calculate the location of the satellite, and you point the antenna at the satellite at the correct angle and at the correct degree and altitude. And then you can receive live the weather satellite images as they are being sent by the satellites. Interesting.
Right. Any evidence to suggest that the satellites are all coming from the same direction? However, I have worked that installs pay TV in Australian houses. Now, in Australia, we only have one pay TV provider. It's called Foxtel. Australia, who wants to receive pay TV, has to receive Foxtel. All the satellite dishes I've seen installed play at a 45-degree angle, which to me indicates that they are not relative to a satellite in outer space, but rather relative to some sort of transmission system on the ground. Just as a Masonic sort of extension of what I'm talking about, if anyone wants to go and look up the cover of the movie The Dish, the movie's called The Dish, go look it up. It's a satellite dish surrounded by sheep. Now, for me, that's a Masonic imagery of the fact that it is believed by the sheep. And I agree with Napoleon Wilson that it's a wonderful film. Neil, who was also starring in the film Jurassic Park, which is another one of the misleading sort of Masonic imagery films that we know to this day, where everyone is into the dinosaur hypothesis.
Dinosaurs are cool.
Is that that movie has an image on its cover of a whole bunch of sheep surrounding a satellite dish called The Dish. Judging from my own professional experience in broadcast, I believe that maybe signals could be broadcast from satellite dishes on Earth and bounced off the ionosphere to appear as if they are coming from so-called satellite dishes. So you've got to wonder that are portraying to have satellite dishes in space really putting satellite dishes in space? Or maybe are they just saying they put it there, taxpayer, the money to put it there? And this is full well knowing that maybe tomorrow I could start a company called Satellite Industries and start a satellite company which puts satellites in space and charges the taxpayer to put them there. This is really known. How much of this is really investigated to the public taxpayer? How much of it's really going on? Like, I mean, could I get away with that? I probably could.
Of course you could.
Judging from this point in time, not many people are asking about it.
Of course you could.
I could start satellite industries.
It's done on a daily basis with clean energy, mate. We say this is clean energy, so it costs you more. You know, this is satellite space. You say, mate?
if we all know what the secret is space and space travel and space time, maybe I could say that I'm busy putting satellites in space and just maybe I could get away with saying I'm doing it and charging a premium net service providers and the like that are willing to pay for me to do that service. If I can get it at a bulk rate overseas via fiber optic, why not say I'm doing it via satellite services and charge them the premium for doing so, even though I'm getting away with doing it cable under the sea, which is the way we've been believe that it's all possible.
It's exactly the same as the free energy. You know, this car's good on the environment, so you pay that little bit more. Same with organic food. This is organic food. You pay that premium extra for what you're getting. Trouble is, this thing has been flying around now for years, satellites. No one's ever seen one in space. So it's not a case of saying that maybe they're not real. There's nothing proven.
Only people have seen satellites in space.
No, they've not, man. No, they've not. If there was a picture of a satellite in space, we would have seen it.
Can I talk for a second? If you allow me to talk for a second, I'm breaking in because I know that both of you are going to try to achieve objective outcomes.
I only want to meet your sister.
What I'm trying to say is Soundwave 40 and Napoleon Wilson both believe objective things. Now, what I'm trying to point out and what might be beneficial to the community is the fact that none of you are wrong. What I'm trying to point out is that both of you are actually right. To be concerned. Don't be concerned with the argument. Be concerned with the fact that at the end of the day, the powers that be lie to you. And the fact that all this nonsense do not exist. They use it to justify a payment for a very expensive service.
Even though you can receive better satellites yourself.
This can all be done by, you know, fiber optic communication undersea, and it doesn't need satellites to make it happen. It can be easily done with fiber optic communication. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, the weather images you receive directly from weather satellites are live. But I would like to... they match, of course, the weather at that moment. So I would like to know how the weather is... I mean, if you would have to simulate weather satellites live accurately, you would have... with images, you would have to simulate an image that matches the weather properties on the pattern at that location. And then you have to do all this live with hundreds of satellites. And how would you do that with this?
There's no one saying that it needs hundreds of satellites. Do you? As far as resolution goes, that you can see, you know, at least three or four satellites worth of resolution. Is that correct?
Sorry, say again. I didn't hear you properly.
Seeing whatever satellite image you're looking at, would you say that what you can see is three or four satellites worth of resolution?
What's a satellite? I mean, they find a satellite. I mean, do you mean if it could be done by a plane or something?
All I know is, when I was in high school in science, triangulation. Now, triangulation looks at three points where in the 3D area that something will occur. Figure out that within a 4D space or a 3D space, that things couldn't be existing in the same area that I learnt them in high school. The jump between high school and what I've been presented in the mainstream media to figure out that there was a difference between triangulation and triangulation that I'd been presented, there was a difference and perhaps a misdirection.
I'm actually
going to go into further detail.
Well, about triangulation, I guess you could triangulate the height and location of a satellite if you have two or more dishes, because then you can, if you have two dishes, you can of course measure the angle of each disc on time, then triangulate the location they are pointing at. But that's something different. I mean, what do you mean with satellite worth of resolution? I don't understand that concept. And of course,
think of it this way, right? Two satellites can be used to triangulate on a 2D plane, correct?
Do you mean with
answer me if that's true or not, because this will decide the final result.
Well, GPS satellites are used for triangulation and to calculate your location, but weather satellites don't do anything with triangulation. They just take a picture and send it. That's all they do, really.
The satellites send a position in time. GPS uses to calculate a position. So sending your time will calculate your device in 2D space, correct?
Well, I think most programs that calculate the position of a satellite don't use live data, I think. They just use a prediction made at intervals. I don't know if these intervals are days or weeks or months. I don't actually know how they predict the location of satellites, if they use live data or if they use setup in the box.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
No problem. Okay.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. That goes out to Frank the Salt Guy.
But it's a bit gay, but that's all right.
Oh, well, it takes one, takes one to know one. Okay, Soundwave, how do you explain the heat of satellites not melting? Not made with anything particularly special, are they? Not only, I've got one for you. Oh, very loud. No, you know when they build these machines?
I was talking with Velocet, and I would like to continue our conversation before answering other questions.
Oh, look at you all. That's fine.
Hello, Sandwave.
Can you give me 5 minutes to go? I need to take a piss, if I can be completely honest.
Oh, okay.
This, what I agree is well worth discussing, and I would like to discuss it further if I can.
I'm going to have to listen back.
I will come back in a second, and we'll play a song. Probably ABBA. It's a Rich Man's World.
ABBA. Don't play ABBA, please, don't play ABBA. No, please.
Oh,
don't play ABBA.
It was already in the playlist.
He's barely started.
Who am I talking to that's busy fighting ABBA? Come on.
Play some ABBA for a typo.
Sorry, I was interrupted.
It was busy processing ABBA. Consensus.
Don't have a piss. It's all right. Napoleon.
Mate, don't make me having a piss now, because it's going to be very obvious.
I missed most of what's been going on. I'll have to listen to it, because my mum was on the phone. Don't have a quick piss, but don't, honestly, when you come back, try not to play any hammer if you can help it, please, mate.
I've been muted. It's suggesting you have a quick piss.
Or you can insist. Nice. If you insist, you can do what you like. But anyway,
it already came up under the circumstances, so I thought it would be appropriate to play it, so I have a good break to go and do that and then come back without people talking behind my back, and I'd be able to come back.
But can we talk over ABBA? Can you play it at a very low level? Critique it. That's for you as you've got. How you doing, Soundwave? Hi. Soundwave?
Hi, Typo.
How you doing? I didn't hear a lot, most of it, because I was on the phone to my mum again, as you Sorry. What I wanted to ask about, neither shilling or trolling,
Hello, this is Elf Sushi from Tokyo, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.